The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Thursday Night Destruction, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Pro Wrestling 101, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way to do so is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping on Amazon, go to ShiningWizards.com first and click the Amazon button. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase goes to help the show. If you'd like to put our logo on your chest, head over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick up one of our Kick logo shirts. Or, if you prefer, pick up one of our Shining Wizards Network or any of our other design shirts over at ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Come follow us at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, become our friends on Facebook at Shining Wizards, or send us some hate mail at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards, we'd like to thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
This is the Juicy Product, the Juice JT Dunn.
The Product David Starr.
And you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast, and we're going to leave you with a poem of our own. Roses are red.
Violets are blue.
Here's the house.
You're welcome.
We are live for the Ustream audience, and all we need now is a theme song. And ladies and gentlemen, I know you've been patiently waiting. We appreciate that.
No, they haven't.
Well, I was trying to be nice, dude. Come on. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Another live edition where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Kevin.
And we are apologetic, but we were busy doing some things with our brothers just to the slight north of us in North Jersey. Yep. Monster Closet. They've got a YouTube channel. Please go check those guys out. Monster Closet NJ on the YouTubes. And they're giving us the high sign because I think they're doing a little filming for us right now.
Yeah, man.
It's kind of weird to be interviewed.
I love it.
I don't mind it. It's just weird. I'm not used to answering questions.
Well, and this is the first one you did where you actually were not drunk, so.
I mean, it's
I think that helps.
It's still early.
Oh, boy. My phone's blowing up. People are looking to call in, but
not before yet. We
get started with the topic at hand, actually, there's somebody else that I do want to talk about, somebody who feels the need to put his name out there, who actually went to a friend of his to let people know the situation. And I'm talking about Vince Russo. Apparently, he feels the need to let Stevie Richards have the world know that he's now doing DDP yoga.
I don't...
And
really?
Nobody gives a shit.
Really?
Yes.
That's what we're leading the show with?
Wow, you fucking suck.
Well, I'm trying to make the people get confused thinking that we're talking about something more important.
No.
But
let's get Vince Russo.
He's doing DDP yoga. How is that not earth-shattering news?
No one cares.
That's the point.
The only thing that matters
is Sting.
In the last week
Sting,
of wrestling.
Sting.
CM Punk on Colt Cabana's podcast.
Yeah, that seems to be the big story. I don't know why you're saying it so quietly into your microphone. Are we doing Serious Matt again?
No.
Boom.
How is this Serious Matt?
Is this Sting's music?
No, this was CM Punk's entrance music when he was in Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to play as much as I love Cult of Personality.
Oh, you got to play that.
Yeah, come on, dude. Really?
I'm not going to feed the WWE machine after that fucking interview.
Talking about me shit.
Yeah, but CM Punk always had good theme songs.
Yeah, but
Kill Switch Engage.
That was Randy Orton's before it was his.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Wait, CM Punk used to come out to I Hear Voices?
No.
Who did the first one? Kill Switch.
All right, yeah. Dude, this music's killing me. Turn it down, dude. It's killing me.
Sorry.
It's all right.
I'm gonna look that up. I'm pretty sure.
No, Rev Theory was Randy Orton.
No.
This is where we're wasting precious airtime.
No, you started it, fucker. You started with stupid
with
Vince Russo bullshit.
Dumb Vince Russo shit.
Okay, so apparently the internet blew up and it had nothing to do with a fat lady's ass.
She's not fat, dude. She's hot.
Dude, her ass is fat. Whatever.
Her ass is delicious.
It's awesome.
You're crazy.
We should get that and mount it right above your clock of Italy.
I thought you were going to say you're going to put it on the Wall of Fame.
No, we could put it on the Wall of Fame.
So CM Punk decides that he finally wants to tell his story, and he does so on a Thanksgiving episode of Colt Cabana's podcast,
which,
The Art of Wrestling.
I want to go out first and say that that is awesome that he could, you know how much money, he says it when he kicks off the show with Colt, how much money he could have made by telling this story, how, like, he could
have, absolutely.
The bidding war for CM Punk's first interview could have made him a ton of money. Yet he goes and he says it right in the beginning, hey, there's more that there's more to life than money, people, and goes on his pal Colt Cabana's show to tell the world why he left WWE and all of the circumstances around it. And I think that's commendable in amongst itself for CM Punk. Before we get into the deeper issues and the more exciting and topical portions of the interview, I think that's something that should be applauded, that he went to his pal for no money and told a story that would sell him a lot of views, a lot of books, and stuff like that.
Well, I give him credit because he came off like he wasn't super bitter.
Right.
And, I mean, he has every right to be bitter. I mean, it goes back to a lot of stuff that we've talked about on this podcast. Eddie is a huge... Eddie's got a mind for the business. So he looks at all this stuff that they're doing, and he sees what they're doing wrong, almost to a point where
it's scary sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like, and him and Punk are on the same, everything that was said on the Punk podcast at one point or another, whether it was said by Eddie, myself, you, or Tony, or anyone else who's ever been on this podcast, it's not like the first time we're hearing this.
Right, but it's coming from the source. It's coming from the most popular personality that the WWE has had other than John Cena in the last 10 years. So when it comes from that source, and you said it perfectly before, he did not come across super bitter. He had his moments where he sounded bitter, but he didn't come across super bitter. And when it's coming from guys like us, and Eddie, you're right, has a super mind for wrestling. I don't know how he got it. I don't know where he got it from, for someone who is constantly anti-WWE, which he is. I mean, we're not saying anything that he doesn't already know, but the fact that he has that insight before I see it, 100% before I see it, probably before most people see it, he was spot on with what CM Punk said. And from the outside, that's pretty impressive.
Do you think it's more of Eddie knowing this stuff, or do you think it's like just the rest of us being so jaded? Like, even CM Punk said he wanted to give it the old college try because that's what's always been done. Do you think that that's the situation that most of us as fans are in? It's like, well, this is just kind of how the business goes.
I think if we're just still specifically talking about Eddie, and it kills me that he's not here right now. He's a little under the weather. So
he died.
He has a staph infection.
Yeah.
he's got
No, it's an assemblage of fatty tissue.
It's Mr. Bubbles under his back.
Yeah.
Hi, Eddie.
But I think he's a step above every smart fan or every person that's above a level of a smart fan. Eddie somehow has that weird little stratosphere above of the rest of us. So, and I appreciate that. So,
a Festivus for the rest of us.
There it is.
So this, huh? We're not live. What happened? Did we lose it? Oh, I guess we're not live. Something must have shut off. That's okay. And we're back.
Are we live now?
Yeah, I think we're live now.
Damn, that was an awesome first.
Yeah,
part
but
of the
you
show.
Know what? If they missed it, they can go back and listen to it again. We appreciate the hits.
Ah, well. Anyway, where were we going?
Do you guys want to start from where CM Punk started? It's pretty much after the whole pipe bomb thing. It was like the last year up until when he quit or left, however you want to call it, in January after the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, he hates the phrase pipe bomb, and I don't fucking blame him.
Well, he hates it.
But he has no one to blame for that for himself. Like, and he said that he was going to embrace it, and he should embrace it.
Yeah, I guess because it's associated with his WWE work rather than, like, his Ring of Honor work.
Or blowing somebody up with a pipe bomb?
Well, I think his whole thing is that it's used too often.
Now.
Because after he fucking went...
Like I said, you're the most popular guy in a company. You use a catchphrase, people are going to use it. Like, people are going to say, do you smell what I'm cooking? People are going to say, what? Or that's the bottom line. They're going to do that.
Yeah, but no. You know what it is? Like, no. Who really said that except for The Rock? Like, I think The Rock would lose his shit if other people started saying that.
Well, no one else is saying it other than Triple H, right? Triple H said it, but that was during the feud with Punk.
It's because Triple H is allowed to say these things.
Of course.
Let's be honest. Triple H, for as many guys as, like, he helped over the years, he just kind of goes into business for himself all the time, even with his promos.
Yeah, when he's live, you can tell that he's going into business for himself, even with guys like The Rock.
I don't know. That's ridiculous. Is he trying to grab the brass ring? I mean...
So what do you got? Take us on this wild journey.
You're going to be our tour leader here.
Okay. Something that Pat Buck has told us on the show, which I agree with, it's okay to be bitter. That was his big thing. And, like, everybody's going to be bitching and moaning at him, just saying that he's bitter. And he's like, well, that's okay to be bitter as long as you channel it and you do something, you know, positive with it.
And I agree.
It's a great point.
It's a great
starting point for him, being that people are just going to be shitting on whatever he says anyway, which is apropos for the wrestling business.
And you take a guy like Pat, who, you know, we've known for a long time now. And we've said this before, he's business, all right? He's business first, and when business doesn't go maybe the way he wants, he has no problem saying how he feels about it. And I'm not even just – you could see this is how he is as a person and not just an owner as a company. I think there's a lot of similarities between CM Punk's personality and with Pat Buck's personality. And they're right. Those are two guys that I respect a whole hell of a lot, Pat on a personal and – quasi and business level, and CM Punk as a fan. And you see a lot of similarities in their personalities just from what you hear and what I noticed from Pat.
Okay, so I'm going to go through things the order that CM Punk talked about them.
Okay.
But I'm going to try to piece things together because it's a lot, dude. It was almost 2 hours that he did with Cabana.
Right.
And it was just Cabana gave him a couple things to feed him once in a while, but it was just mostly him telling his story. Let me see. A lot of people telling him you can't change the business from your couch in Chicago, and he disagrees. He thinks he did. He thinks that if it wasn't for him, that Daniel Bryan wouldn't be getting a shot.
Can you just fucking open the phone line and let this fucking kid call in? He's really fucking obnoxious.
Who's
like,
this?
Eddie. He just fucking won't let it go. Don't call him. Just let him call in.
All right. Well, then I'm going to keep going. Fuck
yeah, please.
Which is kind of, if I remember correctly, I thought that he said the exact opposite when he did come back. I could be wrong. I thought he said when he came back.
He may have, but he could have been in promo mode too.
That it's I'm not going to change it from my couch. I have to be here. I could have sworn I've read that. If you guys are listening, let me know on the Shining Wizards Facebook or Twitter. Did he say that back then?
It's possible, but don't forget what you say when you're out there.
See, I don't even know if it was out there. It could have
been. Well, then what else would he have said it?
Social, Twitter. I may have read it on a dirt sheet. I don't know.
Well, he also blocked WWE for
it. It might have been part of his DVD.
Where he said, "I'm not going to change it from my house."
Well, we all know how the machine works, though.
Like, yeah, but that was his DVD. Like that was his. He had his hands all over that.
Yeah, but he might have been told that he can't say this or he can't say that. We don't know. We don't know, which is nice. Why we got to hear a lot of this stuff that went on. So here's the thing: there's been a whole laundry list of things that he tried to do that he was told no, and he decided not to fight for, and yet other people got them.
Right.
For instance, he was lining up sponsors. He wanted, when he came back, after the whole pipe bomb when he left, he wanted to change his gear, he wanted to change his look. He had sponsors, people that wanted to put their logo on his tights, you know, make some extra money, and kind of open the door for other people to make extra money.
And I think that that's brilliant.
It makes sense, and Vince told him, nope, can't do it.
Because wrestlers don't have a union. They're not going to have any...
Well, this is what else he goes into, but we'll touch on that later.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, they all tie in together. And the boys need every outlet they can to make as much money as possible, because like the NFL, you don't last forever in this career.
No, of course
wrestling
not.
Wrestling is, you see, it's more, you have a more elongated career than the NFL. But it's like NASCAR. NASCAR has their sponsors on everything. Their jerseys, their cars, they're everywhere. And there was talk that hockey was going to do this too. put logos on the rink, put logos on their jerseys like they do in Europe and Russia. And it's not that outlandish because of the viewers that pro wrestling brings in, that if I put fucking, I don't know, just say Sunoco or fucking whatever on my trunks, and I can make some extra money doing that?
Yeah.
As a pro wrestler who's not at the top of the pay grade?
Yeah, but he wasn't looking to make extra money for himself. He was looking to help further the audience. He wanted to bring in new people. He wasn't looking to make an extra buck. He was looking
He wasn't for just him. It was for everyone.
Yeah.
So if he could do it, then like the Zack Ryders and the Zigglers and the Hawkins could have done it.
Yeah, say there's some mom and pop shop that Zack Ryder is friendly with from back on Long Island.
Yeah, and they want to say, and they want to put their logo. I mean, I wouldn't go mom and pop per se.
But you know what I mean.
I understand what you're saying.
Somebody that he's close to in that community.
And they just want to, he wants to put their logo on his ring jacket, like a little patch on his back shoulder, just so. Help them out. Give they throw him a bone. I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. It would have been perfect for somebody like Rey Mysterio. Put like Goya on the back of his tights.
He was the champ at the time, though. He wanted to go with Chael Sonnen down to the ring at the UFC,
and they told him no because UFC is barbaric and
Someone's
gonna die.
So out of touch, Vince McMahon. It's disgusting.
No, but the funny thing is, like, he really thinks like he's in competition with them, but they're not. Like, it's weird.
He thinks he's in competition with UFC, but he also thinks he's in competition with freaking The Voice or fucking.
Well, because we make movies.
Yeah. You're not.
The Farrelly brothers are my enemy.
The Farrelly brothers? That's actually what they should be named after the last few movies. The Farrelly brothers.
Isn't that the name? It's not the Farrelly brothers.
No, it's the Farrellys.
It's the Farrelly brothers.
Oh, it's the Farrellys?
Yeah. Dumb and Dumber and Something About Mary.
I thought it was the Farrelly brothers.
No, it's the Farrellys.
Well,
the Farrellys.
I'm an idiot. But my point is not lost on my inability to pronounce somebody's last name.
I hope it's the Farrellys. It is.
Yeah, it's the Farrelly brothers.
You're down by the river. Come on, that was funny.
That was Chris Farley.
Farley, wasn't he related? Anyway. But he got pissed off because what happens? No logos for him. Brock Lesnar comes in a couple of times later, and he's got logos up the wazoo all over everything.
Well, rightfully, he should be pissed off.
Lesnar already had these deals in place.
That's what
Punk says that.
But he's trying to make the business better. He's trying to get more eyes on the product. Why would you not want that?
I agree.
And the fucked up thing was, dude, not more than a couple of weeks after they told him not to walk out with Chael Sonnen, Triple H is coming out with Floyd Mayweather for no reason.
And I'm pretty sure nobody said fucking boo when The Undertaker and Brock had that exchange at UFC. I
forgot about that.
No, of course not. And Undertaker even breaks character. He's like, you want to go now?
That was never even brought up once, ever.
It's so dislike. We talked about it all the time. What was going on in the WWE and the current product. And then to hear all these stories, it's like, holy shit. Like, there's got to be a locker room full of guys that feel the exact same way. And to listen to this and find out that the champion for like a year and a half had to fucking scratch and fight and claw for the simplest things just to make the business better, not even put himself over, to get more eyes on the product. It's disgusting.
It really is. It really is.
Opens a lot of eyes, this whole interview.
Like, and I think what Vince and probably more so Triple H, and we'll get into that, is panicked about is like, I can't believe somebody had the balls to actually come out and say this. Like, it might be where people are thinking like, oh my God, CM Punk just burned a bridge. Well, that's not necessarily the case because Vince did say, oh, we could work together again and whatnot.
Which is not, I agree with that.
But you think like, oh, he burned a bridge, but did he? New Japan is huge. They just started a network. If they throw him a fucking boatload of money and now American people can pay for this network and watch CM Punk wrestle 30 times a year in 5-star matches, they're going to do it. People are going to throw money at this fucking guy if they want him to wrestle again.
Right. Shining Wizards Eddie.
Welcome aboard, pal.
Give me the cancer voice.
Hey, guys. It's JP.
Jackass.
Yo, I'm so fucking sick.
Oh, you sound great.
Take your mouth off of JP's dick.
Oh,
no,
and maybe you won't be so sick. Ba-boom.
Misery. Misery. I got answers. I got some answers.
We got questions.
When CM Punk first signed, a long time ago, Stephanie McMahon did not like him. She hated his tattoos and his look. I'm pretty sure Triple H didn't like him. If you remember back, Paul Heyman was basically his advocate and talked WWE into not firing him, not letting him go.
Yep.
Paul Heyman actually went behind their backs sometimes and put him on whatever TV show they were doing back then on FCW, wherever the fuck he was. So CM Punk was never in the cards for WWE. And if it's not something that Vince came up with or wants, or what Triple H or Stephanie wants, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that it doesn't work. Now, granted, they gave CM Punk the belt for so many days, but that's because the fans were getting on their case. However, if you think back to Punk's title reign, he was never the main event.
Nope, it was a token move on their part.
Exactly. It's the same thing that was putting Ziggler in the main events on Raw and shit. I mean, like, dude, yeah, this will last a couple
Eddie,
months.
It goes back to even when Macho Man was the champ or when Ultimate Warrior was the champ. The main focus was always still on Hogan. So it's not a pattern that we're not used to.
No, CM Punk just seems to be the first guy that's really talking about everything that we assumed that was going on. You know, if you watched Vince's podcast with Steve Austin last night, he seemed a little delusional in some spots. I mean, he talked about the fans not connecting with Cesaro. I mean, is Triple H and Stephanie, are they the ones talking him out of this, you know, Cesaro push and Ryder push? Are they the ones in his ears saying, you know what, maybe the fans aren't connecting? Because the way Vince was talking was like he truly believed Cesaro was not connecting, when in fact, if you look back at WrestleMania, he was insanely over.
Right.
And then they botched it completely. Cesaro was connecting. And then Vince says you have to grab for that brass ring. Then that's exactly what Zack Ryder did. And then he was buried for 6 months. And is still, you know, he's off TV with an injury, but whatever. What I'm saying is if Vince doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. I mean, CM Punk said, okay, yeah, let me get sponsors. Sponsors, great idea, sponsors. Vince didn't come up with it. No, it's not in the cards for you, pal. But then Brock Lesnar comes in with the sponsors. That's fine. It's just they never wanted Punk to succeed. He succeeded in spite of the machine, much like Daniel Bryan succeeded in spite of the machine.
And
it's
Eddie,
probably always been that way.
Eddie, and this is because we put you over pretty big. I don't know if you were listening. I'm not sure if we were live. We put you over about your. You seem to be a step like above like the smartest fan and the guys that are still inside and some of like the biggest names in wrestling that we respect felt that Triple H was going to be the opposite of Vince McMahon. Triple H wants the business to grow from what Vince McMahon's vision was, and that's why he signs all the Steens and the Kentas. But it seems now the more things change, the more they stay the same with Triple H. This is us talking, so anyone, Matt, Eddie, anyone can chime in. What do you think Triple H's long-term vision is for the WWE? Will it be Vince McMahon too, or will Triple H, once Vince is out of the picture, progress things?
From what I seem to understand, the way Triple H is backstage with his awful sense of humor and his unfunny jokes, he just seems like an insecure little fuck, basically, and he does everything to stroke his own ego, no matter what, the same way he curbed Punk's, you know, hot run by saying, oh, let me put you in there, and then I'm going to, you know, go over you in the middle of nowhere for nothing and then go away. It's going to become the Triple H show. It's going to be either his buddies or people that it's not going to be good. It's not going to be. Yeah, he's taking all these talents, but if you think about it, he's taking these talents out of the independents, and now they're all working for pennies in NXT for God knows how long until they debut on WWE programming, and then get pushed for a couple months, you know, lose to Cena, and get repackaged and start over. I mean, yeah, they're going to make a living and everything like that. But I think his motivation is he's taking them off the indies. It's the same way Vince raided the territories, which Vince, you know, denies. I didn't put them out of business. They put themselves out of business. Triple H is taking the top guys out of these indies, taking them away, and locking them up in NXT. That's what he's doing. I think it's the same thing as what Vince did to the territories, Triple H is doing to the indies. Just taking away the draws, taking away the top guys, retraining them, downgrading their styles, and putting them on WWE TV as, you know, whoever the hell they're going to be, Kevin Owens, whatever. I don't know, man. There's so much talent. but they're not going to be able to show that talent that they showed on the indies. So they're just going to be typical WWE clones that were once hot on the indies.
Yeah, but that you can trace that all the way back to when they were pulling guys from ECW and even WCW guys. They were putting them in there and teaching them the WWE way, and they weren't really giving them the opportunity. I mean, yeah. I think the whole part of the whole Punk Triple H thing is Punk was a Vince guy. So once Triple H could get him out the door, like that's just another guy that he doesn't get along with that he doesn't need to worry about now.
Was Punk a Vince guy? Punk was a Heyman guy. Heyman had to convince Vince, yeah, didn't he?
But
convince Vince.
When he after he dropped his pipe bomb, he had to go talk to Vince about a contract, and Vince gave him, you know, that contract with whatever he wanted. So at that point, you're still, you know, Vince is signing you up for another 3 years, and he's going to throw all this money at you, which apparently he didn't get paid properly. That still leads to believe, like, at some point, Vince and Triple H probably sat down, and Vince is like, all right.
No.
He's so hot. Kiss my ass, Paul. He's coming on. You know, something ridiculous. So maybe that plays into it too. It's just like a real weird. It's so weird because Triple H does these things where you think he's gonna do the right thing, and then before you know it, like he's fucking part of the storyline and he's like the focus. And Eddie even brought it up. Like Punk is hot as fucking white lightning, and then here's fucking Triple H. Kevin Nash, SummerSlam.
That was something that I was surprised that he didn't bring up on Cabana's interview, the whole Nash thing.
Well, I mean, he brought up, yeah, like, oh, you're going to make me face you, and then I'm going to put you over? Like, that doesn't... And he's absolutely right. And Eddie blew it till he's blue in the face every month on this podcast after a pay-per-view. It doesn't make sense for The Rock to beat him. It doesn't make sense for Brock. It doesn't make sense for Triple H to beat him. And you know what? It doesn't. We're so fucking just tired of it, though, and blind to it. Going back to Kevin saying that Eddie notices all this stuff, I don't have the energy to sit down and sit through 3 hours of Raw or really honestly give a fuck because the product doesn't interest me.
It's for me, it's, you know, I've been watching it over 32 years now. It's just, I watch it in hopes that it gets better, but it just gets worse. And now that I've caught on, the way it's run, and then after Punk's interview, that whole confirmation about what I thought about how it was run, I'm just basically really disgusted. And then I saw Vince's interview, you know, where he was just once again, you know, talking in circles, wrestling, blah blah blah. No, that's not true. They hold you back if you go against the grain. You're not allowed. And I'm sure that interview pissed off a lot of the mid card and undercard guys in the back. I'm sure Cesaro's watching that like, I guess because I'm Swiss, I can't get over, even though I was completely over at WrestleMania and people respect my wrestling ability. Vince hates wrestling. Vince hates wrestling. He wants to do anything but wrestling. It's the entertainment business. Anything but with the movies and all that crap.
Right.
He hates wrestling.
I think now we're at the point where I think the CM Punk interview and now the Vince McMahon podcast are kind of related. I think we can jump back and forth between the two. And what was your take, just because the Vince McMahon thing is fresh, because I watched it last night. What was your take on, we're treating Eddie like a guest, but he should.
Well, Matt was too busy blowing smoke up his ass, so I figured he was a guest.
Whatever, he's not here, he's on the phone. Tony, you can answer if you want. His take on the streak ending and his justification of Brock Lesnar. Oh, you didn't see it.
I didn't see
Eddie, you watched it. What was your what was your indication or your take on why he ended the streak? And to me, that seemed about his explanation of it seemed just about as foolish as what he said about Cesaro.
Yeah, he basically said it was time to give another superstar the rub so another superstar can become basically a bigger star, is what he said. But it was Brock Lesnar. It makes no sense.
Yeah, who was made. And this is the best part about it. The best part about it is when Stone Cold blatantly asked him, are you out of touch? Do you not? And Vince McMahon shows how delusional he is with the answers that he gives and still thinks that he's in touch.
What I think is this. I mean, I honestly think Triple H and maybe to Nick and Stephanie, they might kind of be manipulating him a little bit, you know? I bet you Triple H has been doing that for years. He's probably pretty good at it. And he's probably been manipulating his Vince, you know, Cesaro's just getting a pop because it's WrestleMania and everyone, you know, is everyone's excited, but this isn't going to go anywhere. Let's back him up a little bit. It's very political, and it's cutthroat, and it doesn't seem like they have the best interest of the fans at heart. It's to stroke their egos and their egos alone. It's their show.
Tolan, what else you got?
Let me see. WWE's creatively stifling environment. And then he goes into the 12 Rounds 2 debacle, where they promised him the lead role in 12 Rounds 2, which happened to be taping the same time as the European Tour, which Triple H played dumb and said, no, it's not. And Punk's like, yeah, it is. It's the same time every fucking year. No, it's not. And he goes, oh, well, we'll check on it.
His Triple H impersonation was fantastic, by the way.
No, not.
It yeah, is.
But then the weird thing is...
He sounds like me, like a clogged nose. He's like, no.
No,
it's not. Fucking funny.
But then the next day, he finds out on social media that Randy Orton's given the part. And he's like, you couldn't fucking call me to tell me, hey, we're going with Randy instead. We need you on the tour. Which is another thing. They do business by FedEx and by social media.
That's it.
It is.
They don't care. They're not professional about certain things. And Vince said there's a disconnect sometimes between talent and personnel. Maybe that was a little shot at Triple H. Maybe he's not happy with the way things went down. But seriously, Vince, man, it's time to go. But I don't think Triple H is not going to be the guy. He's not going to be good.
The other thing Cena said at this point was that he, when he was a face, and they turned him heel and he didn't want to turn
Punk
heel.
Punk, sorry.
He was doing all the same appearances that Cena was doing with the Make-A-Wish kids and all these other things. And he was, whatchamacallit, he was selling more merch than Cena, but you don't hear about that because he's not the guy, because Cena's the guy.
Cena is Vince's vision of what a wrestler should be. And he's a Vince creation.
He's
the walking WWE
sexy
logo. I mean, I don't really care for his in-ring style. A lot of people say he's, you know, he's easy to work with and he has good ring psychology, whatever the case may be, he works hard, that's fine. But they're not giving anyone else a chance. And in doing that, the company cannot grow. Because if you look at the roster now, there's no one that's over enough to carry the company besides Cena. And when Cena comes on now, his reactions are starting to die down. Like, the people that would boo him loudly are indifferent now. And it's just kind of like, it's just Cena again. Cena is Vince's creator wrestler. That's what he is.
It was interesting. He was talking about all the merchandise and how some of the fans are like, oh, you know, we paid for your house. And he started actually giving the fans shit. And he was like, I will not be defined by what I do for a living. What do you think of that?
I will not be defined by what I do for a living.
Yeah, and it's funny because then he says the WWE wants you to be your character 24/7. But you're supposed to be nice on Twitter. Which goes into the whole thing where he said he shit his pants and he got in trouble for it.
He's like, I'm going to have white gear.
Yeah. I need a Z-Pack right now to get this freaking virus out of me, whatever the hell I have.
Is it MRSA?
It's the AIDS.
You know what, Tony, I don't know if this is on your notes, but this is something that I found. I think it was right around the time of in the interview where you just said that, where he's like, the fans, you guys didn't make CM Punk.
Yeah.
The WWE didn't make CM Punk. I was CM Punk before WWE.
Yep.
And he calls WWE a pit stop on where in his career. He calls it a pit stop.
Yeah.
Do you think he is undervalued? I personally think he's not giving WWE nearly enough credit for what they did, yeah, yada yada later on in his career. Pipe bomb, this,
no,
that.
No, good point, but it parlays into what else he said. He said, it's a business, and you have to know what you're worth, and he knew what he was worth, and the WWE's game is they want you to feel like you're not worth nearly what you think you are. He's like, do I have millions? Yeah, I made millions. I should have made tens of millions.
Right.
He's like, but that's what they do. They beat you down, and they tell you you're worth less than what you are, and they keep you from reaching your full potential.
But I agree with that. About the whole not reaching your full potential, but can you completely devalue WWE in the making of CM Punk?
Well,
the WWE as a whole, as a product, was his platform but he had to scratch and claw.
Yeah, I agree
to make
with
it
that.
Worse. CM Punk was never in the cards for any of them. Neither was Daniel Bryan. If you know, I've been saying this for over a year now. You guys have been saying it for over a year now too. Even the Marky fans, even some of the workers themselves have said, you guys have all been worked by Vince because it was supposed to be Daniel Bryan all along. No, it was not supposed to be Daniel Bryan all along. Daniel Bryan was supposed to, you know, wrestle Sheamus probably. Punk was supposed to wrestle Triple H, and it was supposed to be Batista versus
Orton.
Yeah, Batista versus Orton for the title. That was what was in the cards. It got to the point where fans almost started rioting that they had to change their minds, and they did it, and they hated having to do it. Punk was never in the cards. He had to scratch and claw his way to make all that money. He earned that on his own. He did not have the machine behind him. He had the people behind him, and reluctantly, they pushed him. Okay, we'll give you the belt to appease the fans for all these days. However, you're never going to main event. It's still going to be the Cena show, because that's our creator wrestling.
And they turn him heel, so this way he can lose. And he told Vince, he's like, Cena Rock 2 is going to be the shits. He told Vince, Batista and Orton is going to be the shits. And even Batista agreed with him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out of touch, and they have agendas. It's never going to change. As long as Triple H is probably worse than Vince when it comes to that, because he has, you know, I really think he's just like an insecure little man that has a fucking problem, and he has an ego. And if he never married into the family, think about where he'd be now. What do you think he'd be doing right now if he never married into the family?
He'd be a producer.
He wasn't that great. He was never the guy.
He'd be a producer.
Never. He was the guy that worked with the guy.
He'd be the guest commissioner at PWS.
Terrorizing.
He'd be fucking raking. He'd be doing, and it's nothing, no slight against PWS.
Obviously.
But that's just who he is. He was just a guy, and he had his short run, but there was nothing fucking spectacular about Triple H.
No, you know
so
what?
So he would be PWS guest commissioner. He'd be the big name at WrestleCade, the big name at Legends of the Ring. But that's it. Now
he'd be on the anniversary shows of Raw and stuff. I mean, maybe he'd still be wrestling. Who knows? But he would not be. He was never the guy, ever.
No, before
never the guy.
I got to disagree, though. Before he blew his quad, he was actually in the prime. He could do no wrong. He looked really good in the ring. After that, though, he went right back to being where he was before he got...
I kind of disagree. I think the best thing for his career was when he blew his quad.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Not the steroids?
But were you at MSG when he came back, dude? He was He was the hottest dude that they had at the time, and more hot than Stone Cold at that time.
I get that, but is he now in the position to decide what works for the wrestling business?
Yeah, because apparently Kevin Nash coming out of retirement and taking on CM Punk works for everyone.
All right. Let's with that notwithstanding, the smartest man in professional wrestling, long term. That's
Kevin
not
Garifo.
Talk about now. Is we can all I think we're all smart enough and adult enough to agree that it's Vince McMahon.
I think with the assistance of Pat Patterson and a Jim Ross, not Vince McMahon by himself.
Fair enough.
And maybe a Jerry Briscoe
but
in there too.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things, Vince McMahon is the smartest person about. I mean, and people will disagree with this, and they'll have good arguments for that. But if the most successful person in the history of this business thinks that this guy, being Triple H, is good enough to take the reins when I'm gone, then who are we as outside sources? And granted, we have all the right in the world to criticize. We have all the right in the world to question. But do we really have that right? Because these people know much more than we will ever know.
Do they, though? How hard is it to know
that
some of the angles, the Bella shit last night, enough.
Saying the grand scheme of things, dude.
How hard is it to just tell me a story? How hard is it?
Yeah, but it's like the Vince Russo effect. If you give a guy who's got a couple of good ideas some people to bounce them off of and to work with, to cull them and to make them great, then yeah, I mean, but he's not in that position anymore. He's got just yes men around him.
I wish I knew who all the writers were. The only person off the top of my head.
And that's
that
the other thing.
Why do you need
Punk
writers?
Is like, there's like 4,000 writers, and if one of them's pissed off at you, you don't get written for.
I mean, you think Michael Hayes is considered one of the
one of the smartest guys too.
Michael Hayes is too busy drinking, smoking cigars, and fucking finger blasting Rosa Mendez.
Yeah, but
it's just like anything, and I hate to say this, if you do something for long enough, it gets to a point where you just don't give a shit and you just collect a paycheck.
I'm finger banging Rosa Mendez and I don't give a shit.
Dude, I take finger banging Rosa Mendez over a paycheck.
Why not finger bang her and get paid for it? Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit what walks out that curtain?
A baby?
Vince owned a great product.
Curtain?
When there was competition, or he was listening to the people around him. That's all there is to it. I mean, he is very lucky that the AWA treated Hulk Hogan so badly, because if he never got Hulk Hogan, God knows where they'd be right now. Hulk Hogan put them on the map.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
And again, he's also lucky that WCW completely shit the bed, too.
Oh, yeah. Vince didn't put WCW out of business. WCW put WCW out of business.
Right.
Because the product turned totally crappy. But Vince is at his best when he's angry and has people up his ass competing with him, and that's when he needs to start listening to people around him. Right now, they're just skating by, you know, they're happy with the ratings and their sponsors and the money they're making, and that's it. It's almost like they're not even trying. It's kind of ridiculous.
I want to know who the guys, I mean, he's not just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's his decision, and it's Triple H's and Stephanie's decision, but there's got to be other people there that can say, hey, man,
yeah, there's
not
people,
a good idea.
There's
or...
people there that can say that, but they're afraid to say it. It's like there was something else that he said. People who grew up around the business, they're taught to just eat shit, and that's what happens. All these guys are happy to be there, and they just continue to eat shit.
Like, what's Cesaro's psyche now? He obviously is going to hear about this podcast, and
he probably watched it.
Your fucking boss is.
Oh, I thought he meant our podcast.
Your boss is telling you. You don't have You're, it.
Thank you, Cesaro, for being a loyal listener to the show.
Ciao, Cesaro.
Ciao, Cesaro, you Swiss Superman.
I love your chocolate.
Now, what does that do to him? Because he's probably been fucking busting his ass up until this point. What more can he do?
I know what they're going to do. They're going to dress one of the Bellas like the Swiss Miss and make her come to the ring, and they're going to start yodeling again.
Like, really? What, for him, as a performer, an employee... How much more can
Bullet
you do?
Bullet Club. Cesaro joins the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
Like, how much more can you do? You won a battle
you're right.
royal.
You're absolutely right.
And
you work your ass off. He got over because he was a strong, awesome wrestler.
Who scooped...
You're not allowed to do that. God forbid you get over.
He scooped the Big Show. He scooped the Big Show up at WrestleMania, walked him to the ropes, and just casually dumped him over the top. And they did nothing with it.
Well, whatever they've been doing with him is apparently punishment because he spoke out about seeing John Cena against Randy Orton again.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, but he said that long after they curbed his push after Mania.
That's true, too.
Him with Heyman was the biggest mistake, and we called that way, way a long time ago. Everyone was saying, oh, no, it's just a build-up to put Cesaro with Brock Lesnar, and we all said once again, Cesaro's never going to touch Brock Lesnar. They're not even going to be mentioned in the same sentence. That's the most asinine bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, but what does punishing him do for...
Nothing.
It does nothing. It does nothing for the fans. I don't want to see the same fucking people every single week. I'm tired of seeing Kane. I'm tired of seeing fucking John Cena. You need to elevate these guys. Let them speak their minds. You're not a fucking dictator. You're the fucking WWE. And it's getting to a point where people are just going to stop. Like, this podcast with Punk, I guarantee you that the Raw numbers for last night are down.
Well, let me just throw this in, too. Now I forgot my point, because now you made me think about Raw going down, and now I'm thinking about even
Seriously,
Rosa Mendez.
You listen to Punk, and he spews all this... You know, and of course, there's always two sides of the story. But you know what? It's not like he's telling these fucking over-the-top lies. It all makes sense. Why are you putting over The Rock? Why are you putting over The Undertaker? Why are you putting over Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, but
It's
all him that did that. They asked him to put each and every one of those guys over, and he's like, "What? And who shows up on Monday? Me." That was the point. There was no reason for him to lose to all of those guys in that stretch. Reason whatsoever.
And again, if you listen to the thing, he kept false hope, just like a lot of the fans kept false hope. Like, all right, they're going to see me do this. Yeah. They're going to see me have a great match. Then they're going to finally realize that this year, after 3 years of not being the guy, is going to finally be the guy.
Because he eats shit.
He keeps he's just as guilty as keeping false hope as all of us. Keeping false hope,
which is what the business teaches you to do. Like, if you, because you work hard and you grab that brass ring and the world is your oyster and you're going to become the champion, and then all these people have the same balls to turn around and go, well, if you don't want to be the champion, you don't want to grab the brass ring, then you should quit. Well, then there would be nobody on the fucking roster except for John Cena and maybe Seth Rollins, because he's like the fucking poster boy on the other side, right?
Who now. I don't see being that guy at all.
No, anymore. He can't talk worth a shit.
No, not at all. Keep the mic away from that fucking guy. It's crazy. That whole brass ring bullshit. I mean, that's proven to be bullshit more and more every day. I saw this fucking funny little post where the Vince and Austin, it's a still from the podcast, it says something like, the audience makes or breaks a star, and if they don't believe in him, it's not going to happen. And then there's a picture of Zack Ryder underneath saying, let me tell you why that's bullshit. And it's absolutely true. Absolutely true. For him to say Cena's the last guy to try and grab that brass ring, get the fuck over yourself. It was Vince that pushed Cena. It was Vince that got the machine behind Cena. Anyone can be Cena. I'm sorry to say it, but anyone with a good work ethic that comes to work every day can be Cena if they have the machine behind them.
Two quick points. Go ahead. The point that I forgot before was they did the same shit with Fandango. WrestleMania, they put him in there in his debut match against Chris Jericho. What happens the next night? Everybody's doing the fucking dance, pointing their fingers and whatnot. They fucking reintroduce him with different music and a different bitch and all this different change in his character.
You had the one thing going for that character, even if it wasn't as popular as it was in the New Jersey WrestleMania crowd, Boston, that sort of thing. You had the one thing that the fans were still clinging on to.
Yeah.
I hate to use their term, the Fandangoing. Yeah. I hate to use that, but that's the one thing you had people still caring about.
Yeah.
And now they don't even have that anymore, even though the melody is still there a little bit.
Yeah, but it's Alberto Del Rio's music mixed in.
Yeah, that's right. We did that last week.
But the other point, and this gets back to Eddie and I at WrestleMania, we didn't do this because we were like marks and we thought we were better than the business and all this other garbage. But we stood and we watched CM Punk have a great match with The Undertaker. We watched Triple H have a shitty match with Brock Lesnar. And we said, you know what? Cena and The Rock isn't fucking worth our time. And we left. We left.
I ain't mad at you.
Thank God.
You know, and the worst part was CM Punk was like, this is gonna make me, they're gonna see how great I am, and they didn't even fucking give the guy a good payout.
No, not
he's
at
like
all.
He's like one if he goes if any of those guys that supposedly headline made one more dollar than me, that made me furious because they didn't deserve it. And he's right. The match with Triple H and Lesnar sucked.
It was terrible.
It was awful. It was 3 minutes of action, and then they went into oversell mode,
and then
which is the MO of all Triple H's matches lately.
And then Colt brought up a point where he was like, well, The Rock's bringing in all these outside, whatever, viewers because he's a movie star. And then CM Punk shot him down immediately and said, dude, WrestleMania is the draw. The Rock is not the draw. WrestleMania.
Haven't we said that?
Yes, we have.
And it was
we said that over
many
and over
times.
Again.
Yep.
And he also said, to further Kevin's point, that they fucking blamed Survivor Series drawing poorly on The Miz and R-Truth. The
no
balls
one
on them.
Wants to see John Cena and The Rock take on fucking Miz and R-Truth.
But
no, nobody wanted to see them teaming up.
No, I see.
Nobody wanted to see that. The storyline sucked a bag of
made
baby
no
dicks.
Sense. Oh, you guys are going to team up.
Dude, I loved that. Oh, well, the whole Rock Cena thing. I loved the whole
Miz
Truth
thing.
It was
great that Miz and R-Truth, yeah. That was great, but they were banking on that being some fucking big sale,
then
they blamed The Miz and R-Truth.
Well, listen, I mean, that's the easy thing to do because, listen, I honestly think in that situation, they thought they could have plugged anyone into that match with Cena and Rock, and to an extent, I think they're right.
And they would have blamed whoever was across the
they
ring.
They
would have
whoever
it
was. If
it could
it
have been
well.
Hogan and The Warrior against those guys, and if it was a shit buy rate, they would have blamed Hogan and The Warrior.
Probably. But and that's another thing that pisses me off because I thought that The Miz and R-Truth were... See, Miz was already a made eventer, WrestleMania headliner.
that stuff. Truth was not. Truth came out of nowhere with that.
So, well, he's black. They had to elevate
him. Miz isn't a main eventer, Kevin.
He was.
Wait, that's one thing Miz has over CM Punk. He main evented a WrestleMania.
And that's got
to... I agree with Punk. The last match is your main event. I don't give a fuck how many main events they say they have during a show.
That's true.
It's true. The last match is the main event.
It has to be.
Unless you're absolutely. Unless you're Triple H, Chris Jericho going on after Hulk Hogan versus The Rock.
And everybody knew that was a mistake. And the fucking, and nope, gotta go last. Title match goes last.
Which in theory,
think,
which
and
in,
then they turn around
maybe,
and...
Do you think maybe they're just stupid people? Like Vince and Triple H, they're just clueless and stuff. They're just clueless and stupid.
They,
do you think that could be it, that maybe there isn't this underlying thing? Maybe they're just idiots?
I can't disagree with that. It's like Punk said, you know? Though, whatever the situation, they just twist their story to fit how they want it to go.
And you know we'll never get... Vince McMahon apologized to CM Punk about the papers being sent on his wedding day, but we will never hear, unless CM Punk comes back to the company or whether they're both retired or gone, we'll never hear Triple H or Vince McMahon's side of the story unless it's made for a DVD later on down the road.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll never know. We'll never know. The truth is what Punk said. He has no reason to lie.
I agree. And the
no
fact,
reason,
and,
no reason to lie.
And how we talked about it before you called in, how he said that he did the interview for free with Colt Cabana as opposed to getting paid thousands and thousands of dollars for an interview completely validates his truth, I think.
Right. And everything he said, once again, is everything we've been saying for a couple of years now. Everything. He hit on every point that we've brought up.
Matt had a face when I said that.
I'm not saying it was a bad... From a business standpoint, it was genius because he also announced that he was opening his Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt store.
He already announced that, though.
No, he announced it on the podcast.
Yeah, but he also helps out his friend Colt. I mean, Colt's fucking website went down like 7 or 8 different times.
I still can't get the podcast on my iTunes.
You got to do it on YouTube. You got
to.
No,
I listened
to
it on YouTube, but I can't. Because I was going to pull a bunch of audio that we could play throughout the show, but I couldn't get it.
That's all right. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't heard it yet, you should probably not be a wrestling fan anymore. Seriously. How do you not fucking tune in and listen to that?
There's many other reasons why you shouldn't be a wrestling fan anymore.
You know what disappoints me the most? I've been getting my kid into wrestling, and now he's a big fan of all these guys in WWE, and I feel like I'm steering him in the wrong direction.
You're
now.
Not. He's a kid. He should be watching this product. We should not be.
No, man. He's being raised with shitty stuff. Just let him watch the network, like the old stuff or old DVDs.
Newsflash, I don't even want to keep the network anymore.
Really? That's stupid.
I really don't. It's not like I don't want to watch it. I don't know if I want to support the product anymore. I don't know.
That's fair.
Dude.
That's fair.
Look, I'm probably going to wind up keeping it, but like seriously, and not to mention that fucking New Japan has their network, which is only going to cost me $8.40 a month as opposed to $9.99.
Oh yeah.
To
watch shit that I've never watched before, you know?
We got to talk about that off the air, how I get that network thing.
Oh, Mega Powers put it all up on the Facebook.
Yeah, but I didn't
know. How to read the translations.
I got it right
everything.
Here.
Go to Google Chrome. It translates it for you.
Yeah, that's what Matt said.
There you go.
That's why I have the New Japan network now.
Well, dude, we should just watch that for the rest of the show. Let me just see if there's any other quick points. Oh, yeah. One of the things he was concerned about goes back to his Mania pay. Nobody fucking asked a question when the pay-per-views went from $70 a month to $9.99 for free on the network.
Everyone's scared to death.
Dude, Randy Orton.
They're the only game in town. They're scared.
Randy Orton asked Punk, he's like, so what's going on with our pay? He's like, I don't fucking know. Nobody tells us anything. It's funny that Randy Orton went to CM Punk to find out about it, though. I got a kick out of that. Randy's supposed to be one of the fucking guys, you know?
Sorry, I'm eating a cookie.
No one wants to rock the boat. WWE, no protection for wrestlers. Okay. He's been concussed how many times over the past 2 years? They sent him off to Europe while he was concussed. They gave him a concussion test.
Which he admittedly said was on him.
But that goes back to the way he came up through the business. He didn't get the fucking kid gloves. He got the, if you can walk, you can wrestle. That's his mindset. That's on him.
Fair enough, but he also called them out for their test being bullshit. They gave him his test. He said he was listening to his iTunes and on fucking texting Colt Cabana while he was taking the test. And then they said, oh, yeah, you passed the test. Why don't you come to the ring and run the ropes for a couple of minutes? He's like, why? Is your test fucking shitty?
But he also said he's the type of guy who says he's fine, he can go back out there.
No, fair enough. Yeah, he brought that up a few times.
I agree. If this is the way they're doing concussion tests, it's a fucking disgrace.
It's dog and pony show. It's all for PR.
Exactly. That's exactly what he said.
They don't care. They don't care about your well-being or your health at all.
Dude, he hurt his...
PR.
He hurt his elbow.
PR.
His elbow was locked at a 45-degree angle. They were taping it up every night just so he could fucking move it.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's all PR.
Let me see.
Is it
didn't
insane?
You mention how they were watching something about how it was costing the NFL so much money for all these concussion tests or whatever, so they implemented it themselves for some reason? I don't know. He mentioned something that has to do with money and public relations, basically. And that's true. That's all I thought about.
And he went into the fact that Kevin brought up earlier with the NFL, that they have a union that looks out for them, that gives these guys money because they're fucked up and helps them out, like, you know, post-career. And he's like, WWE has none of that.
No, they don't. That's not what I said. The NFL doesn't have that. They sued the Players Association and former players sued the NFL.
Yeah, but now, it's still in
the legal system.
That didn't go through you.
They got the award. Then it was appealed, or something, and it's still going through. I don't think anything has absolutely been finalized.
But that's why
everything was implemented to avoid that happening to them and costing them.
But it was the same shit
with the steroids back in the 90s to keep the government out of their shit.
Yeah, but the NFL with their concussion policy now is a lot stricter than any other sport.
And the general point is the NFL, at least somebody fucking stood up and is doing something about it. Whereas, like you said, the guys like CM Punk are just like, hey, you can walk, you can work.
Yeah.
Well, that's the mindset of any athlete. They always think, and you hear it from football players and hockey players all the time. A guy literally in the NHL, I forget who it was, plays for the Dallas Stars, had a heart attack on the bench, passed out, collapsed, he's finally brought to behind the bench, and he's like, when's my next shift? When am I going back out?
Well,
that's the mindset of an athlete.
And then in something like wrestling, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, that's your spot.
Yeah.
Some kid played this weekend in Clemson with a torn ACL. He scored 2 touchdowns.
But here's the problem with wrestling. Wrestling is never done. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can gut it out to the end of a baseball season, maybe. But then at the end of the season, you can go get rehab. You can work on it. You can maybe have a surgery and be ready in time for spring training or opening day.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
Tell that to the guy who took off and Lou Gehrig played that fucking day.
All right, but... But you're talking about billions of people who have probably played professional baseball since its inception.
Billions. Well,
billions.
Yeah, humor me.
Billions of people.
No, but think about it. Like, when does anybody in wrestling ever get to go, like, oh, you know, like, I need time off? Fucking ask Ricky Steamboat about needing time off.
No, heck, even Steamboat and CM Punk even was hoping that he'd be hurt to get a break.
CM Punk went to have surgery, what was it, on his elbow? He's like, while I'm out for the elbow surgery, might as well get my eyes fixed. Yeah. Fucking 2 days later, they're like, oh, we got you booked in 2 weeks. He's like, what the fuck?
Oh, man.
Uh-huh.
Eddie, can I ask you a question since you're more in the know with the... And I don't want to put anyone on the spot, and if you don't want to answer it, or we could just move on.
Oh, I like
what
this
one. What is the comments CM Punk made about Ryback?
Yeah.
What's the feeling within the down at the school and PWS and everything, because it's been, you know, it's known that
no,
Pat,
it's known. Yeah, Pat's like
Pat's
best
a good friend
him.
With him. I mean, anything you hear, anything, any rumblings, anything you're comfortable sharing with us?
No, I haven't heard anything yet. It hasn't been brought up yet. I'm going to see them all tomorrow. I'm going to ask, you know, just to get an idea of what's going on through their heads. But, you know, we know Pat, and we know Pat is very professional, and he surrounds himself with very professional people that know how to work, people that know the business, people that are smart. Now, maybe Ryback did hurt CM Punk, but if you think about the type of people that Pat surrounds himself with, I don't believe Ryback did it on purpose. I don't believe Ryback to be dangerous
And CM Punk even brought that up. He asked Ryback himself. He says, he's like, hey man, this is like the third time. He's like, are you doing this on purpose, or are you just that dumb? And he quotes Ryback as saying,
I'm just that dumb. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, but then even after that, he wound up punting him in the ribs and fucking him up again.
I mean, listen, I think...
Allegedly, this is what CM Punk said.
From what I understand from people down there, Ryback's a good guy. He's a good person, but I think he was just too green for the spot that he was given. Is that fair, Eddie?
It might have definitely been too soon.
Yeah, okay.
Same thing with Roman Reigns. Same things with a lot of these guys that they bring up that aren't ready.
Did you go back to his story about him getting his eyes fixed and the NXT attack and someone was raking his eyes?
It was Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's hysterical.
Well, the funny thing was, if you listen to it carefully, he didn't say that he had eye surgery, but he was put in a spot where he had to go out there and he knew something was going to happen. He just didn't know what. And then, unfortunately, they wound up breaking his eyes, which he didn't even want to go back to begin with. And then him and Gallows were like, dude, what do we do? And Punk's like, fuck it, just fight back. And that was when Ryback's like, no, dude, we're supposed to go over. Stop.
It's funny how the Shield was supposed to be his
That's
team,
a point, too.
Guys.
Yeah.
That's
with Chris Hero.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been, sitting here right now, Chris Hero. I mean, granted, Roman Reigns is doing a good job, whatever. I'm not sold on him at all yet, but Chris Hero in that spot would have been awesome.
They gave him the leadership of the Nexus, and they gave him Mike McGillicuddy. People don't remember that either.
God.
No, they do.
Well, not often enough.
Well, he also said that he wanted to work with Axel instead of Ryback or something like that.
Let me ask you guys a question.
He really
wanted to elevate Axel.
Yeah.
Do you think, and it's hard to say this because it seems like he put it all out there, do you think he held back just a touch because his wife still works there?
Nah. Ooh. I think is she done? Like, she should just leave. Why is she still there?
She's awesome.
Yeah, but what is
they
she
put like, her over. They put her over on Monday.
Yeah, but you think that's just like a token thing to like, you know.
Why absolutely. Do I? She's
was,
there because she's
be like,
good.
Oh, Steve, we don't punish people.
All right. That's
yeah, maybe she's bulletproof now that he did this.
I think she's there because she's good for the quote-unquote Divas division.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, other than her and the other one, who else do they have? I mean, the Bella and the Pager. Whatever the fuck their names are.
The Pager?
The Pager.
Is this fucking 1997?
That's right. That's what I did.
What happened to Twitchy Emma? What happened to fucking Natty?
They're total Divas.
Natty's on Divas. She's doing fine.
She was in the corner of Tyson Kidd and Cesaro.
Yeah, what
last
the fuck
night?
Was that about? Them teaming up.
I barely watched
No Direction?
All.
Team No Direction?
Team you have like the boy band One Direction and now these guys are No Direction?
Dude, and Punk...
Basically, yes, they are No Direction.
No, they're going to sell out fucking South Mountain Arena.
Punk, it's an awesome tag team. It's a fucking
I agree with
team.
You. They work with it.
He even brought up the Straight Edge Society and he's like, we had a great group. They had nothing for us to do.
He thought that was the best thing that he had.
And Serena shaved her fucking head for that bullshit.
I hope she shaved her pussy too.
I'm sure she does. She's probably well groomed.
God.
All right.
Is there anything else of note from this Punk interview?
Oh, Kevin, I'm only on page two.
What the fuck,
are you really?
Dude?
Come on,
we went over everything.
He wanted a 3-way at WrestleMania. We talked about that. He said he was willing to lose a title to Taker on the 500th day to make it monumental. They told him to go fuck himself. The elbow surgery, the eye surgery, that was the whole Nexus thing. He was supposed to go to Birmingham to see Dr. Andrews to get the okay to get back in wrestling. And apparently, I guess it was the doctor that was there that he shits on later.
The one with the ponytail?
That called Birmingham and called Dr. Andrews and said, yeah, you know, CM Punk's fine.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? And he's like, no, get me on a flight to fucking Birmingham, and I want to see the doctor myself.
They don't care about your health. They don't give a shit. It's crazy.
Let me see. Punk is champion. Oh, yeah, he models himself after Harley Race, which I thought was fucking awesome. Had to carry himself like a champion. He says that he didn't want to be an asshole. Like, he knew he was acting like an asshole near the end, but like he really didn't want to be. It's just that he was fucking miserable and sick. And Vince McMahon told him, I'll owe you one a bunch of times, to turn heel. Cause he knew he was going to lose all his merch sales, to come back and to wrestle Ryback after his knee surgery. And then again, to work Ryback again after he got fucked up all those times and they wanted a clean slate and he just felt like he was never getting one back. I don't know. It sounds like Punk was still giving it the old college try and still wanting to be a team player, and it just kept fucking him over and fucking him over.
Yeah,
it's only so long that you can eat shit before you just say, I'm fucking tired of eating shit.
Yeah, this is true. debut.
I don't think we'll ever see him wrestle again. I think he's done.
Yeah, we talked about all this. He always wanted to know what was next for him, which was a smart thing. But unfortunately, everything that they had next for him was the drizzling shits. Yeah, you're gonna lose
the
Taker.
The one comment he made, which really hit home with us, because this is what we've been saying. He said that you walk into a meeting and all Vince cares about is, okay, what do you have for Cena?
Yeah.
And he said no one else. There's no long term plans for anybody else at all.
Yeah.
At all. And that's what we've been saying. It's obvious. Everything's just booked around Cena. There's nothing long-term. They have no idea what they're doing at all with anybody. And it's sickening. Look at this, for example, look at Bray Wyatt. He was so hot. He was doing so well. People gave a shit about his promos. They put him in a program with Cena. It wouldn't have hurt Cena to put over Bray Wyatt. Cena beats Bray Wyatt probably 5 out of 6 times they wrestled or whatever. They had to totally restart Bray Wyatt to get people to try and care about him again and try and salvage it. And now he's doing this little mid-card feud or whatever, but I tune out now when he does his promo, only because, like, okay, this it doesn't mean anything. He cut these great promos against Cena, and if he won, then maybe his words would have meaning. But now he's just, like, some blabbering, like, crazy guy that can't back it up.
And the worst part about that was after they put Cena over Wyatt, then they put Wyatt over Daniel Bryan, and he just fucking completely shit what was left of him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I'm just looking at my notes. Go ahead.
No, you're right. They don't care. Cena's their guy. That's the only guy they have, and everyone else is just a supporting character unless you're Triple H.
And they put Jericho over Bray too for no reason. That made no sense at all.
Made no sense at all. And I forgot. I completely forgot that feud even happened until you brought it up.
Yeah, that's.
It was so meaningless and terrible.
And that's what I think really put the nail. I mean, Cena, you lose to Cena, whatever. You lose to a guy who is basically not a part-timer, but a semi-part-timer. Is what was the point of that?
Right, and at this point, Jericho is so devalued because every time he comes back, he just loses.
It's Mick Foley syndrome.
Loses.
Which I have no problem with, except to the point, and maybe that's why they did it, because everyone just assumes that whenever he comes back, he's there to put over a young talent, which should be the case. So maybe that's why they did it, just to spite the internet wrestler community, whatever. I hate that fucking term, but whatever. But yeah, that was a weird time for fucking Jericho and Bray Wyatt. I don't think has ever gotten his momentum back. And as much as I love Dean Ambrose and think that he still has main event star potential, nothing was worse than this pairing of Wyatt and Ambrose.
Oh, it's so bad. They're killing Ambrose. Like Lunatic Fringe and just, you know what? They have nothing for Ambrose. He's not in the cards for them. He's way more over than Roman Reigns, I think, ever will be. And Roman Reigns is going to be the next guy that we complain about. Like, you think Cena's bad? Just wait until they start shoving Roman Reigns down our throat once he's back from his fucking dick doo-doo.
While we divert from the whole CM Punk thing, we were talking about when Cesaro was paired with Heyman and how he complained about how all these guys get paired with Heyman and it only hurts their career.
Yeah.
And talking about Seth Rollins, is Seth Rollins a guy that you could see, if he was paired with Heyman as opposed to the Authority, something like just clicked in my head that Rollins could be the Heyman guy that could have done something?
I don't know.
If you had Heyman talk for him?
If you had Heyman talk for Rollins, you had Rollins.
And he didn't wear a wetsuit.
And he didn't wear his Catwoman outfit.
Rollins just doesn't. He doesn't look like. I don't know, man. He just like very generic looking.
I was all for it when it happened when he turned, because that was the guy that we all thought was just gonna get lost. So I applaud them for taking the chance with Rollins as the guy, and I applaud them putting him with Triple H, which, regardless of how we think about him now, elevates you. It does. No one can argue that. But I wonder if Heyman was there, that could have been the one Heyman guy other than Lesnar that could have actually made an impact. And
yeah, it's not up to Heyman.
I understand that it's not up to Heyman. For some reason, seeing, like, in my mind, I'm picturing Rollins and Heyman together, and that seems more right than any other guy that they've ever put with Heyman, obviously, other than Lesnar, and if you go back further, Angle and all that nonsense.
Heyman is so good with creativity that you could put anyone with him, and if he's allowed to guide their career and talk for them unscripted, anyone would get over.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
But all they've done is put guys with Heyman and done nothing.
That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point. Maybe they're doing it to fucking devalue Heyman. Like, oh, maybe he isn't the messiah of wrestling. Look, we paired all these guys with him and they went nowhere, if you think about it. I mean, they put friggin' Curtis Axel. You think Heyman would really name a guy Curtis Axel?
Yes.
No.
No, he wouldn't name him that. But
he
I
would
think
name him Curtis Axel Rotten.
If he was... If it was done properly, I think they could have elevated him to that status.
Well, never saw it with him.
Joe Henning and put him in a singlet and, you know, had him take pride in his lineage. That's another thing. You got, hey, what's up, buddy? You got like,
not much, man.
What's up, dude?
What's up, homie?
Yeah, what's up, yo?
Can we
they
see
have,
it?
Joe Henning there. The whole
you're outside,
time,
you're never, outside smoking a cigarette, aren't you? You're outside smoking a cigarette, aren't you?
Don't
yeah.
you hear? Don't you hear the cancer commercials, Eddie? God damn it!
I got a cancer from smoking cigarettes.
For you guys
Fuck.
Out there, if you're listening,
let's not talk about this anymore.
We are. We are going to take some phone calls. If you're out there
for the next 10 minutes,
201-467-8949.
Eddie, your dad doesn't listen to this show, does he?
No.
Okay, never mind then.
Call in. Just a quick thought on Punk and then hang up. I don't want to fucking...
Yeah, please don't call and go, hey, guys.
I don't want to, how are you? What's going on?
Listen,
I don't want any of that bullshit.
Yeah, that's. I agree. But if you want to talk about something else, that's fine too. But just have a point when you call.
Yeah, and you
or
got
I'm
10
going
seconds.
To reach over Tony, knock over that angry orchard, and hang up on you.
Don't. It's my third, man. I'm feeling
three.
Good.
Three? Ooh.
I know.
Fuck. Yo, Eddie, Tony's fucking lush.
That's why I lost my train of thought 3 times already.
Going to be throwing back my angry orchard.
Oh, well.
Yours.
Probably the last one. Let me see. Apparently, if you have MRSA infection, Z-Packs do not help. Poor CM Punk was dry heaving and throwing up. And
he didn't have MRSA?
Yeah, he did.
He had a staph infection.
Well, it was an
it
onset
developed
of MRSA.
Into
yeah.
MRSA, right? Is that what
yeah.
you said?
Yep.
And then Hardcore Holly came out in his book and said the exact same thing.
Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun.
That they didn't give a shit.
Yeah, the Z-Packs. Yeah, I even asked my wife. I said, if you get MRSA, what do you get? You get a Z-Pack? She's like, a Z-Pack's not going to do shit. I'm like, thank you. That's awesome. So and apparently, here's what I took away from that.
A fucking Z-Pack sounds like a fucking, like, kid snack it's, from, like, Little Debbie or something
hey
like
guys,
that.
Hey, guys, I got a Z-Pack with my tuna sandwich.
I'll trade you for your banana.
The one thing about the MRSA story that I did find great was that even in the WWE locker room, they just love watching shit get picked, popped, scratched, all that good stuff.
They're bored.
Yeah, but that's great. Like, I would love to see that. Like, if Matt came in here with a tumor, I'd have a fucking X-Acto knife
Jesus,
help
fuck.
Him cut it out. No, not
Why
like cancer,
that?
But, you know.
Don't say mean things.
That's brutal.
That's awesome. Drive you ever watch videos of that shit on YouTube?
I skip over them.
Wait, skip over them? What kind of playlist do you have that you skip over them?
Well, I skip
Why
over
would you
the.
Want
the,
to see that?
Because it's awesome and it's disgusting.
Goatee was. That's it. Like, that's my limit. Goatee. I can't. Go
the
back.
What?
Goat? Wait.
Goatee.
So popping like a.
Alright, come
like,
on.
Alright, never mind. Whatever.
It's not necessary.
Oh, yeah. Why did they want him to take a piss test after making. Like, after refusing to help him out with his infection? They go, by the way, here's a piss test you have to take.
The better question is, why didn't Triple H answer if he took a piss test? Because he's on the juice, bitches.
Allegedly. You've seen it in the show. Come on.
Absolutely.
You know what else?
I have no reason to doubt that.
Here's another thing I thought was great. He's like, you send poor Glenn. He called him poor Glenn. Is working in fucking pants and loafers. He called him poor Glenn.
He does put over Kane, though.
Oh, and he got concussed by Kofi Kingston in the Royal Rumble. And he's like, I probably never told Kofi. And if you did, don't worry about it. It's no big deal.
He loves Kofi. They have a good relationship.
He loves his tits.
Yeah.
Oh, we could talk about a new day.
Or not.
They already lost.
Did they lose?
Yeah, they lost in Tag Team Turmoil.
Fucking retarded.
Like, that's not how you build a new team.
Tag Team Turmoil.
No.
What? Yeah, but and that's another thing. It was on SmackDown, it was Xavier and Kofi, and then on Raw, it was Big E and Kofi.
Reboot rule.
Or Big E and Xavier? I forget.
No, and he's right.
No plans. They probably forgot.
Do it Freebird style.
Biggie's Kofi half the time.
No, Big E should be a singles guy, and Kofi and Xavier should be.
What if the WWE thinks they all look the same?
And we're confused.
Hey, yes, they do, though. You know what's really funny? Is the last two angles that I've cared about the most in like the past 6 to 7 months have involved Jack Swagger.
Thank God he's. I'm glad he brought that up, because I guess we're going to get a retread of the Swagger Rusev thing now.
Yeah, but you know what? Swagger, I don't know. A lot of people might not like him in the business or whatever, but he's got. Swagger has that, like, it factor where I think if pushed right, he can get extremely over and make that company a lot of money.
No,
I really do.
I agree, and I'm glad that they brought him back into the picture. I think the thing with him and Slaughter 2 weeks ago was perfectly well done, and reintroducing Swagger as a serious threat to Rusev. Now, again,
and it makes sense, and it's probably by accident that it all makes sense, maybe because they just ran out of people to throw at Rusev.
I was gonna say the exact same thing.
But it's accidental, but it makes sense. I mean, Swagger, the All-American, has a great mouthpiece. This is the one time that WWE utilizes a manager correctly, and Swagger is completely over. He's coming back for revenge. He tried once, he didn't get it, but God damn it, he's going to keep on trying. He's pissed off, and now he has even more motivation to take out Rusev. I think it's great storytelling, and it's all fucking accident.
Sergeant Slaughter looks like a melted candle, by the way.
He's like 1,000.
He looks awful.
Oh, what do you want from the guy?
To have him in the fucking ring.
Thank you.
No, well, who else? I think for the spot that he was in,
Corporal
Kirshner.
Leatherface? As Leatherface, yes.
I think
you're over enough with Swagger and Zeb. I mean, I get it. Maybe you're putting Slaughter up there to try and push the network so you can go back and watch him be a turncoat and...
I think he's been on the American flag.
They put on Slaughter. Slaughter's an office guy, isn't he? Isn't he in the office?
I'm not sure what he is anymore. I think he's on one of those deals, right? The Legends or whatever deals?
He's the head instructor at the Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense.
He might be in the office at the Parsippany Sheraton waiting for the Chiller Theater to come around again.
I honestly don't know what Slaughter is. But
this is your wake-up call, maggot. supposed to be checking out at 10 o'clock, maggot.
He's Virgil with a job.
They needed somebody for Swagger to come in and make the save four. Could they have done that with Coulter? Maybe that would have been too obvious. So I don't hate that they did it with Slaughter.
How
corny was that shit, though, in the backstage with Coulter having his legs
taken out?
Oh,
the Nathan. Yeah. That was a little...
Their writers were terrible. Or like the week before with Kane behind the concession stand. That could have been really fucking good.
Yeah.
If they had good writers with, you know, comedic timing. Kevin, if you wrote that segment, I'm sure it would have been friggin' hilarious.
I'm not gonna lie to you, because it's with those things. I'm not sure if we talked about this last week on the show. I think we did. It was just the little things, like, all right, Kane, you work at a concession stand. You don't just give people what you say they have. Like, they still have to order something.
And the way they shot it with the crowd, just
with
like
the crowd all the way in the back. Yeah, we touched on that.
No, seriously, even like the writing, it could have been really, really funny,
dude. And especially with a guy like Santino. I mean, Larry the Cable Guy is the worst, but with Santino, there, there's chances for magic to happen, especially with the Kane Santino dynamic, I think. So, and I think Santino has a lot left to offer in terms of a comedy role, but so I mean, it could have been better. I think you're right.
Well, yeah, CM Punk hates Triple H.
Are the phones open? No one's calling. No one cares.
They're listening to you, dude.
Yeah, not tonight, I guess.
Not listening to me. Call him, JP. Yeah,
no,
you're
no
listening.
He's doing
no,
his
JP's
fucking
doing
show.
JP's doing his podcast right now.
Ugh. Yeah, it's all right. We don't have to.
So CM Punk didn't get his royalty check. He went home, which he says, I'm an independent contractor. I could walk out anytime I want, and I wasn't in the middle of a program, so I had the right to do it. Triple H has hated him from the beginning. He had a job to Triple H, and he still resents him for that, even though he was supposed to get his win back at this year's WrestleMania. But he's happy because that spot went to Daniel Bryan, and he deserved it, and it should have been his year, but it looked like it wasn't going in that direction. He got a text from Hunter 2 days before he's going to get married. He's like, Hunter, I'm getting married. I'm going on my honeymoon. I'll talk to you when I get back. And on his wedding day, he got fired officially.
I don't think Vince was behind that. I do think Triple H did that.
Oh, definitely.
Well, did you watch the thing? Vince apologizes for the papers. He said that was inadvertent being
One thing I've heard about Vince is when it comes to like family situations, he takes that very seriously. I don't know what it is, but like that Vince's soft spot is like family shit.
You think he yelled at Triple H for that? Like, damn it, Hunter.
Probably.
Probably wasn't even him. It was probably just like their legal team or their. It was probably just all regular office people.
And they wouldn't even send him his fucking check, the check that he was due. Like they wouldn't fucking do it for him. And he winds up having to get a lawyer, and he gets all that he was looking for and then some. You know what?
Yeah.
I have to go off on an aside. The WWE legal department, like, they seem like the fucking most incompetent people on the face of the earth.
Since WCW's
the only thing they ever won was the steroid trial, and that was because the fucking evidence against Vince was horribly mismanaged by the federal government.
Yeah, that's the only reason. It seems like their legal department's terrible. Oh, really,
dude, they lose everything. Everything.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah, they do.
They threw out Billy Jack Haynes' thing, didn't they?
Wow, Billy Jack Haynes is a fucking nut job.
I mean, a lot of times they'll settle before anything gets too crazy. Martha Hart, which obviously we can't say that she didn't earn. That went on for years.
We should be getting a call list in the next minute or so.
Even the Charles Austin thing with the fucking rocker dropper. They took a bath on that one in the middle of the steroid trials.
Oh, God, yeah. That's crazy. I remember that. And that had nothing to do with WWE, really. It was just the dude pulled a fucking Styles Clash botch and tucked his head.
Yeah, but I think WWE was on the hook for like 95% of that.
Yeah, but didn't they win the whole when Sandman came through the crowd?
Jesse Ventura fucking beat him. Ventura made almost $1 million off of them. Caller, you're on the line with the Shining Wizards. We're talking CM Punk.
Best ref in the world!
What's up there, Skinny?
Does anybody have Colt Cabana's number? I want to air some grievances so the fans don't forget about me. Because WrestleMania 31 is coming right around the block. Can you figure out who this is yet? Do I have to reintroduce myself?
Hey, you're talking to Colt Cabana. I'm broadcasting live from my studio apartment.
Oh, Colt. Hey, Brutus. Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Pleasure. I haven't fucking talked to you in a while. Listen, if anyone believes Phil's whining, and listen, hey, I'm no jerk. Hey, I don't like Phil the person. That's well documented. You guys know my personal feelings on him. I don't have to rehash. But let's be serious. This is professional wrestling where even the stars get forgotten. And CM Punk, for what he is, does have a cult following with fans today. Everyone can attest to it. You see idiots wrapping tape around their forearms. Fans love the guy. But let's be serious. If he stayed quiet for much longer, would anyone give a shit if he came back or not? Because he's going to come back. He's going to come back. You guys understand this.
Oh, well, they
There's
always
money
come back.
Left on the table.
Yeah,
he's not going to leave money on the table. He's going to be back. But this whining about, I got hurt, and this happened, and Triple H cut off my momentum, WWE is the machine. You know that going in. They're the company. It doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter how over you are. Either they're going to push you, they're going to love you, they're going to shit on you. Look at three guys right now. I'm going to bring you three guys right now. And you tell me if they could have made major dollars for WWE. Kennedy, MVP, and Carlito. You think they could have done a lot more in WWE?
I think none of them could have.
You think none of them could have?
I don't think
none of them could have because you watched the program and you watched them as stars. You may not know them personally, but if you know the fibers of this business,
then why ask the question?
Huh?
Then why ask the question if you didn't want the answer?
Because I knew you said no. Because WWE is great at one thing. They're great at brainwashing the consumer. Even those in it. Even, no offense to you guys, but even those doing podcasts. If they could make a guy in NXT right now the next WWE champion and draw millions. But they don't. They pick and choose who they can. They pick and choose guys who Triple H and the Shawn Michaelses and the John Cena's can always overshadow. Because they don't want another Austin. They don't want another Rock. Because they don't need it.
So then why
who's overtaking WWE right now? One company.
No, no one, obviously.
In the next 50 years, nobody.
No one for the rest of time will. I don't understand. No one for the rest of time will ever overtake WWE. I think we're all in agreement with that.
Exactly. So WWE is going to make sure they hold you down just enough for them to make money off you, but not for you to become bigger than the world. And hey, CM Punk, he had momentum like nobody's business. Everyone's seen it. But this whining about Triple H cutting off my heat and I had to work hard and they tried to give me medicine. And this is stuff you know going in. It does not change. If you draw the millions, if you draw the billions, this is the formula. This is what happens.
Right,
that's
but what
why
if
guys like me who watch CM Punk step on guys on the Independence and in Ring of Honor do the same thing Triple H is doing to these guys. He can deny it up and down and every day of the week, twice on Sunday. But the fact of the matter is he's whining about the
Wiggins,
same thing he did.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, but what are they stopping somebody from making them millions?
Because what more do they, what rest do they have to conquer? They want to make sure no one becomes bigger than them. Do they want to see The Rock make another Rock and then have him leave and go to Hollywood and then have him rest with nothing?
Well, no, how what if The Rock makes you millions and millions of dollars before he goes to Hollywood? You're not gonna take that?
This is a hard comparison, but If the Patriots are winning 62-0, they're probably going to pull Gronkowski out, because what's the difference?
Not the way Bill Belichick coaches.
62-0. There's no reason why they don't want another guy to leave. They want you to be big, but this big. Everybody's good, nobody's great.
It's not. I don't disagree with you, but I think that I don't know why they'd want. And granted, I don't know their business model, but I. Why not take the money they can make you and then say, all right, if you're going to go, you're going to go.
But why would they want to lose? That's why they've held on to Cena so long. Cena is not, if you gave me the top five stars of all time, Cena's not even close. People might disagree with that, but he's not close.
In terms of
Rock, 100%. Austin, they were bigger than the WWE. They became bigger than life.
But would you not say Cena's the closest thing that we've seen since Austin or Rock?
You could say star-wise, but if I put right now Hogan, Austin, Rock, and Cena in the ring, who does not belong?
Cena, absolutely.
Who does not,
Cena
belong,
does not belong?
By 10 miles, he doesn't belong. And no offense to the guy. He's great for our business. He's a great guy. What he does is amazing. But WWE wants you to be good, not great, big, not too big. That's where this, when this Punk podcast came out, I was like, this is smart. He's keeping his name alive. He's going to come back. It's going to everybody comes back. But when if people want to believe the fibers of him whining about being hurt and getting the medicine and he got held down, and I could name 20 guys. If I don't do that, I let people speak for themselves. There's 25 guys. And I, you know what? I can speak for it because he was my friend, the late Trent Acid. I saw it too. I saw it with him. I saw Punk fearful of guys. I saw Punk nervous of guys. I saw Punk upset and nervous around guys like Paul Lennon. The same shit that he's whining about is shit that he did. Hey, if I got mad at some referee on the Indies wearing a cowboy hat, getting loaded on Twisted Tees and acting like a jackass in the locker room, I'm an asshole. You understand?
Yeah, I get it.
So any of the fans out there, any of the insiders, any of you podcasters, my buddies over there, Simon Wizard, that's just little Phil with his beefcake doing a podcast. Hi, Colt Cabana. I know you don't like me for some reason. I don't know why. You hate me now, but I like you, so I'm going to wave to you. I say good job, Punk, keeping his name alive, but if anybody wants to believe anything he said in that podcast, everyone knows when we get in this business, WWE is the machine. Everything he's crying about is stuff that we already know, and we still want to get there. On that note, I have to leave. It was a great little mini conversation. You know I'll be back. Guys, I love the show. Holla at your boy.
Later, brother.
Hanson, thank you, brother. Be well.
Thanks, brother.
Interesting insight for someone who knows CM Punk and has
worked
with him.
That's good insight. What he just said was something that we didn't even really touch upon, was the fact that you, like, we know this stuff and we're not in the business, but we were calling this stuff before Punk said anything. You basically, I guess all these guys know what to expect before getting there. So with that side of the story, playing devil's advocate, I guess, I mean, like, who is he to complain when getting into it, they're the machine and you know that that's how it's going to be? I mean, like, that's an interesting side of it.
Yeah, but that's how you are in everything. You want to better the product or better whatever you're doing to reflect the company you're working for. And maybe that was his attitude up until a certain point. Yeah, I know what they do, but if player A and player B and player C did this in the past, why can't I do it? I have the potential to do it. What's going to stop me? And you can't right. fault him for having that attitude, because if he succeeds, he wins in both. He puts the company in a better position and he puts himself in a better position.
I think the major point CM Punk, and this is just my opinion, which means absolutely nothing at the end of the day, in terms of the grand scheme of CM Punk and Colt and WWE, Triple H, Vince, the same point that he kept trying to get across was that he was not having fun anymore. Which, whatever, that's his job. No one really has fun at their job. But if you have a position where if you're not having fun and you can do something about it, then I don't see the harm in taking advantage of your position to say, hey, I'm not having fun. I don't like what's going on here. At the end of the day, we could all quit our jobs if we want to. We could all leave if we want to. CM Punk was not having fun at a job that he felt fun was an important part of, and he took advantage of it and said, hey, I don't want this anymore. I'm done. And I don't think at the end of the day there's anything really wrong with that.
No, I don't, you can't fault him. You know, I.
No, by the way, real quick, that was Ref Hansen on the line for the listeners. I had no idea who.
Yeah, I called. I think I called him Wiggins by mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. Fave that shit, son. Yeah. You can't. I mean, it's admirable that he was able to do that, and you know, I wish I could do that, but I don't have the name recognition or the bank account. Like
right. Exactly. Yeah.
But good for fucking him. Good for him.
And I think he is right that Hansen brought up some good points, and he for someone that who knows CM Punk obviously better than we do. And he's seen it firsthand on a, obviously not a WWE scale, but a scale big enough to know that Punk could, there's two sides to Punk, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, like, Hanson, he has no reason to be dishonest and misleading. And I know, you know, I've gone, going back to Hanson since like 1998, 99. And yeah, he was brought up in there in Ring of Honor to CM Punk. And, you know, him saying that he saw CM Punk pull the same moves on people then that the WWE pulled on him now, I guess that kind of makes it a little hypocritical in a way. You know, we weren't there, but coming from someone that was, who I don't think would be dishonest about it, that adds a little something to it. I mean, that makes it very interesting.
I mean, I don't think it's a major part of the story of CM Punk. I think this is going back how many years, and CM Punk's a lot older now, probably a little bit more mature than he was younger. I mean, you heard about Shawn Michaels was one way and then now completely was different. You hear about all these guys growing and shit like that.
Except for when it comes to selling for Hulk Hogan.
So, well, that's different. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, I was thankful for Hansen's insight on the situation. I don't think it's going to persuade us to start to just think Punk's a liar now, but I appreciate it.
There's two sides to every story. It's only a matter of time. I feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg.
We'll yeah, see. I don't want to blow smoke up anybody's ass, but yeah, I agree.
Well, yeah, you. I mean, like, the one thing I disagree with is he thinks Punk will be back. I don't.
Never say never.
I just don't think so.
Bruno came back.
He hopes they get back together, but I don't think so.
Warrior came back.
They always come back.
I don't know.
Always.
Shane's coming back.
Eduardo, we got to pull this train into the station because it's almost bedtime for T3.
Yes, plug something.
I got tons of plugs.
I want Eddie to plug something before we let him go.
Eddie, will you please take some NyQuil?
I will. Yeah,
no, take the DayQuil so you stay up all night.
No, don't take the DayQuil.
December, you know what I'm going to plug. December 20th, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Rari Rec Center, 275 East Milton Ave, Fight Mare Before Christmas.
You're stealing my thunder.
Show. You have Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be there. Colt Cabana's in a fatal four-way.
You know why I did also coke? Because I liked it.
You have, what? Guest Commissioner Kevin Nash. And the Snake Pit with the Untouchables and Jake the Snake Roberts. It's
Rob Van Dam versus AJ Styles.
Going to be there. Rob Van Dam versus AJ Styles.
The birthday boy, Mario Bocara.
Yes, Mario Bocara.
Stealing my thunder, man.
Against Bonesaw. I mean, it's a fucking stacked card.
Pat Buck against Jeff Jarrett.
Pat Buck, Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, I mean, there's so much going
Chris
on.
Chris Payne, Tessa Blanchard versus Big Deal Craig Steele and Vanity.
Ooh, I want to see Tessa go at it with Karen.
If you can't be there live, you will be able to see this on the iPay-per-view for 20 American dollars. Hey, Barry Smith, you piece of shit, figure that out.
Go to lemonparty.org.
I got Danny Moff on the other line. I don't know what's going on there, but good show tonight, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
Be well, Eduardo.
Good, I hung up on him.
All right, we got a couple plugs. I want to get these out of the way. There is a bunch of wrestling talk we could have
Wait, can I just put in 2 points about Punk?
Yes.
The last two notes that I have was that if you're in and around wherever CM Punk is, please wear a Colt Cabana We Love Colt shirt. Because if you do, he will buy you pancakes. And if you want to talk to him at a sporting event, please don't yell, "Yo, Paul."
Or can Phil, because his name's Phil.
Can I or Phil, Paul. Why did I say Paul?
Because you've had 3 twisted T's and it's or angry.
Yeah, so be nice to him. Talk to him like a human being, and he's more receptive, and that's about it. Eat a bag of dicks. Matthew, plugs.
Hey, you got some plug music?
Yes, I do. Give me
you got something new?
Maybe.
You got a bunch of...
Let me see. Okay. I could give you some Screaming Trees.
All right, guys. There's a couple things you need to check out. Big weekend in wrestling this weekend. If you are in the South Jersey, Philadelphia area, please check out On Point Wrestling. They're doing their show Saturday night, December 6th at the On Point, the OTW Arena, 1041 Glassboro Road, Williamstown, New Jersey. Door time, 6:30. Bell time, 8 o'clock. Tickets are $20 a person. First come, first serve. Get your asses there. Past guest of the show, Matt McIntosh, will be taking on past guest of the show, Chris Dickinson.
Yay!
In the semifinals in the On Point Wrestling title tournament, Drew Blood takes on Oz Taylor, and Joe Gacy takes on Sam Shields. Also, in the main event, you will see Joey Janela take on the Necro Butcher. For more information, go to onpointwrestling.webs.com. Follow them on Twitter at onpointwrestling. Don't make that face, Kevin. I can say his name on the podcast. Also, Sunday night, someone keeps trying to call. Sunday night, on pay-per-view, Ring of Honor presents Final Battle 2014 in New York City, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. The main event, The Fight Without Honor. ROH World Champion Jay Briscoe takes on Adam Cole. The tag titles are defended as Red Dragon takes on the Time Splitters, Alex Shelley and Kushida. ROH TV Champion Jay Lethal takes on Reborn Matt Sydal. The Young Bucks and ACH take on The Addiction and Cedric Alexander, and much, much more. ROHWrestling.com for all that information. December 14th, Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Check out The Sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
12 o'clock to 3 p.m. There's a church seminar with Knox and Gallows.
Nux.
Gallows. Nux. Why did I say Nux?
Because that was his old
Because you're
name.
About 3 fagos in or yayos or whatever.
Please, follow The Sanctuary. Check them out.
Follow ma.
If you are a wrestler, you want to go to this seminar with Nux and Gallows. It's $30 a person.
Kick them in the balls.
Please shut up, please, so I can get through these. Seriously.
See, he didn't even realize he was drunk until you brought it up. But go on. Seriously, go check out our boys at The Sanctuary.
They're awesome.
There's a meet and greet at 4:30. Bell time's 5 o'clock. There's a chain match with Atu taking on Jason Knight. D3 with King Danza
T3?
Takes on Ben the Beast Ortiz and our friends and past guests, the Exer Guys.
The Exer Guys.
We'll
love those boys.
On Nux and Gallows. Follow them on Twitter at SanctuaryPATV.
Why are you so quiet?
Facebook.com/SanctuaryPA. Our brothers to the north, Smash Wrestling, they also get a plug. Smash-Wrestling.com. December 14th, they present to you The Usual Suspects in Canada. Alex Shelley defends the Smash World Heavyweight Championship against Kyle O'Reilly. Matt Cross takes on Alex Vega. Josh Alexander takes on Johnny Gargano. And much, much more. Drew Gulak will be there, bitches.
The Gulak. Yay.
Follow them on Twitter at Smash Wrestling. And as Eddie said before, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com, December 20th.
Yeah, we already went through that.
Fight
we don't
Mare
say it
before
again.
Christmas.
And yes. Also, don't forget about in March, we got a ways to go, but the Boston Pro Wrestling Marathon will be going down the first weekend in March, the 4th, 5th, 6th, something like that. I don't have it up right now, but I will get to it. We'll talk about it heavily next week as we are joined next week by the legendary Kevin Sullivan.
Just answer it now. I want to know who this is. Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. You're interrupting our plugs.
Kevin?
Turn it off.
Oh, shit, it's China. China's
it
here.
Tony, hi, China. Tony, cut it off.
China, do you have a fat labia? Tony, cut it off. Can I tongue jack your fart box? All right, it's off. She's gone.
Oh, there goes China.
So Kevin Sullivan will be joining us next week.
Kevin Garifo will be joining us next week, too.
Yes,
don't forget to plug him. Kevin, you have any plugs?
Yeah. Tomorrow night, yes. I will be at the Joke Barrel Club in West Orange, New Jersey.
Woohoo! Hometown hero.
Yep, that's what I do, man. I haven't been doing a lot of shows lately, so I'm excited to get back on stage. And then next Sunday back in Montclair, which is town next over, I will get back in New York, and I will get around soon enough. So, thank you. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin Garifo, G-A-R-I-F-O.
Thank you for everybody who bought a shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com during their sale. They're still on sale. They're just not 20% off anymore, so go help us out there. Mania shirts have been ordered. Thank you for your pre-orders. They should be coming in a couple of weeks. You should have them in time for Christmas. Live CJ Strong. Our buddy CJ is suffering from stage 4 colon cancer. Please go support him on the Facebook at CJ. Live CJ Strong. That's that. I think it's time for our closing number.
We, again, want to give thanks to the guys from Monster's Closet.
Oh, yes, Monster's Closet. We
Monster
started the show
Closet,
with them.
New Jersey?
Monster Closet, NJ, my buddy Brian and his boys, doing some good things on the YouTubes. Check us out when that episode airs. I think it's going to be Wizards versus the Monsters, something like that.
I still say it was weird for us to be interviewed.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a lot of fun. I don't care, man.
Good dudes. It's clobbering time!
Randy Orton did use this one night only, Judgment Day 2006.
Was he still wearing his like blue leather trunks with the what yellow stripes?
I don't know. Guys, we are the Shining Wizards Podcast. You know the website, you know the Twitter, shiningwizards.com, at Wizards Podcast. Follow us, support us, send us hate mail, wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Programming note. Turnbuckle Throwbacks tomorrow night on rantemradio.com. We'll be speaking to the exotic Adrian Street.
Yes,
tune
good for them.
For that. Don't miss that. Their 100th episode is coming up in December. I will be there live in their studio for that.
We will be at House of Glory.
House of Glory, maybe.
I don't know.
Are we? We got to talk about that.
Yeah, you bitches want the New Japan Pro Wrestling Network? Just go to Google Chrome. That shit will translate from Japanese to English, and you can easily sign up. Thanks to the Mega Powers from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks for that.
The Mega Powers.
I got nothing else, guys.
It's just shit on Matt's face.
I ate a lot of cookies, and I drank a lot of sangria, so I'll probably have diarrhea later.
So did I.
Did we even talk about CM Punk shitting his pants on SmackDown?
We mentioned, like, the white gear, I think, briefly.
Gear?
Because he thought that was going to be his gimmick now that he shits his pants.
Nobody!
Oh, we got into nothing else! Ah, oh, CM Punk, how you own us?
It was big news. There was really nothing else to. Styles put another box, Styles Clash. Conan was arrested.
Yeah, Conan arrested at the Chargers Raiders game?
Yeah, he was MVP of Mysterio.
I didn't hear that.
Cody Hall's just like his father, he's a fucking thief.
He had to pay his bills.
Yeah, alright, goodbye, bitches.
We'll see you guys next week with Kevin Sullivan.
Choo!
See ya!
No, 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 no.